Time Select is your ticket to news without the noise. A daily digital edition of news, business, lifestyle, sport, and more. It's news you can trust anytime, anywhere. We know that's important now more than ever, and that's why we're offering a 60-day subscription to Time Select for just 60 Rand. Go to select.timeslive.co.za/buy to sign up for this great deal. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today, we are looking at the economic news of the week as we move from level 5 to level 4 in this phased approach of reopening the economy. But there's been a little bit of news that's come through this week, and those are the issues that we're going to be unpacking. The main two issues is just the fact that we found ourselves being downgraded again, and also the big one is that a lot of people can finally start exercising between 6 and 9 a.m. because we've now moved to level 4 of the shutdown. So to unpack what some of these issues mean and what they could possibly mean for the economy, we are joined by Sanisha Pakarasamy, who is a economist at Momentum Investments. She's going to just help us to unpack some of these issues. Sanisha, how are you?
Thanks, Mudiwa. Good in yourself?
No. Doing all right. I guess from, you know, it would have been easy to begin with moving from level 5 to level 4. But before anything even happens, we just need to touch on the fact that S&P has decided to downgrade us again. Can you just give us a little bit of flavor around what this means and I guess some of the considerations that they perhaps took into account?
Sure, Mudiwa. Well, first of all, you know, the S&P downgrade, I don't think really comes as a surprise. Fitch was a first mover in this regard. We also saw Moody's playing a bit of catch up on their ratings earlier on this year. So in terms of the S&P downgrade, I think they've been citing similar concerns as the other two major rating agencies have around a sharper contraction in the South African economy in 2020, and the ability to grow out of this crisis seems to be compromised by a very tight fiscal level that we are facing. You know, their new projections on growth do look quite dire for this year, even though they do see a reasonable bounce back into next year. But I think, you know, the main concern is the extent to which they see the fiscal deficit actually expanding to over 13% this year. And they are of the opinion that the debt level of South Africa, so that's our debt ratio relative to GDP, is expected to be at 75% by the end of this year. And they don't really see any form of stabilization in the next couple of years, which is the most worrying factor. So they actually see that 75% increasing to almost 85% by the time we get to 2023. And there is some negative repercussion for that in terms of what government is actually able to spend on, because the higher our debt levels, the more our interest bill grows. So by the time we get to 2023, they suggest that out of every 1 rand of revenue that is collected by government, almost 23 cents of that is going towards servicing the interest bill. So that means it crowds out any form of other expenditure that we could be seeing on, you know, more useful forms of expenditure, whether it be capital spend, you know, building a new school, building a new hospital, beefing up our infrastructure. That spend is then reallocated towards actually just servicing our interest bill in that regard. So from that position, you know, we are likely to face a couple of hard years on the fiscal front.
It definitely does sound like there are some really tough roads ahead. As you said, especially after Fitch made its move, I guess this one, you know, could be expected. I don't know, maybe parts of the market were hoping that because of all the chaos that ratings agencies would sort of give South Africa a bit of a break, but that doesn't seem to be something that's possible at the moment.
No, I think you're right. You know, especially when the Moody's downgrade came, many commentators out there were suggesting that, given the uncertainty at the time around economic forecasting, the forecast range around economic variables has not been this large in a very long time. And on the back of that, most believe that only once things started to settle down and we had some sort of economic plan, that we would get some news from the rating agencies, but they seem to be coming out up front. I mean, part of the good news, I suppose, from that is South Africa is not alone in this downgrade news story. We have a lot of other governments around the world facing very similar issues. I mean, even in the developed market space, Italy also experienced a downgrade more recently, obviously off a higher rating than South Africa, but we are likely to see a slew of downgrades coming forth for both emerging as well as developed markets as growth comes under pressure, fiscal deficits come under pressure as governments tend to spend more, and the debt outlook looking like it will deteriorate for many economies in the next couple of years.
Okay. I guess now we can then, I guess, talk about that move from the level 5 to level 4, reopening the economy, because I guess some of these effects, these downgrades, or some of the issues that President Cyril Ramaphosa and his government are trying to guard against. Because the longer that people stay at home, and the longer that people aren't going to work, the more that the government will likely have to borrow to support the economy, support employers, support employees, and the like. What do you make of the proposed approach to reopening the economy?
Well, you know, firstly, we need to remember that we are in unprecedented times. And that's at the risk of using a very overused word of unprecedented. But if we look at the end of March in 2020, we were already having 100 countries or more instituting some form of a lockdown, whether it be a full lockdown or more of a partial lockdown. And some countries really opted to enforce very strict regulations on the internal movement of people, like a lockdown that we had in South Africa. Well, others just issued, a set of recommended guidelines for their citizens to follow. But ultimately, there were a number of factors that really influenced the lockdown decision of many governments, and that really all boiled down to whether the country was able to manage the epidemic. So, does that country have enough hospital beds for the number of potential patients? Do they have enough medical staff? What does the health profile look like for that demographic? Do they have a high level of respiratory diseases? In South Africa, we do have a significant portion of the population with a weak immune system. We have, more than 7.5 million people that are HIV positive, over 300,000 people infected with TB. So, compromised immune system also plays a role here. So ultimately, there is a big trade-off between the health impact of the pandemic and then the associated countermeasures that government would be implementing on the real economy. So I think, part of the good news is that we were actually able to learn from the experience of the Northern Hemisphere quite early on. So we were able to act quite quickly, and we were able to see, which countries were able to combat COVID-19 a bit more successfully. They tended to have a combination of a strict and early lockdown, which South Africa managed to do quite successfully. Ramping up screening and testing, which is still in progression in South Africa, and then trying to formulate some sort of well-developed contact tracing, which again, South Africa is still trying to make strides in that regard. But I think, ultimately, the speed at which we will be able to reopen the economy will then depend on two main things. Basically, how successful we've been in flattening the infection curve. And we've heard government mentioning that they, at this stage, expect the peak to be reached in the infections at around September. And then, secondly, whether citizens are actually complying with the lockdown or not. Because if we move too soon, we could very well, be back to square one. So we do have to open the economy in a phased approach, and it must be in strictly in line with the health guidelines that have actually been put out there. I think there's also a possibility that as we get better and more detailed and more real-time information from the COVID-19 crisis and who is infected in South Africa, once this comes to light, I think government would then be able to more easily identify where there are, potential clusters of infections. And in this case, we may actually see a reversal of those easing measures in those specific metros or districts while we still have the rest of the economy operating. Even if we look at some of the more developed economies, I mean, Singapore is a great example here, where we had infections starting to flare up again for a second time. If we look at what the UK's experience has been, there's a business body called the CBI, and they suggest that there's four key measures that an economy should follow in this reopening of the lockdown phase. And those four include transparency, clarity, resilience, and flexibility. So in terms of, transparency and clarity, that really means, getting regular updated information from government, which I think our South African government has been very good at doing. Resilience, and this is going to really be quite telling in terms of how successful government support is to the economy. And there will be a bit of a trade-off here with real economic growth and trying to curb the infection rate. And then lastly, flexibility. I think what we've learned from this COVID-19 crisis and the global experience here has been that no one size model fits all. We need to have the flexibility to actually slow down the economy when the health concerns start to reemerge and be able to forge ahead when it's safe to do so again.
Okay, it does sound, yeah, it does sound like a lot of it, despite I guess a lot of experience, there is a lot of uncertainty that people are, I guess, grappling with, and especially where you then think about that they expect the peak infections to come, by September. It does pose a risk, and especially just in terms of the adaptation to, for increased health and safety standards, I guess, in offices as people, go out there. From your point of view, and what are some of the key challenges, I guess, for corporates? Because there was a number I recently heard, 1.5 to 2 million people going back to work. Which means in a lot of cases, it might be business as usual, albeit at 40 or 50% capacity. But what are the some of the key considerations that corporates are likely thinking about right now when it comes to, I guess, going back into business?
So I've also heard that number being quoted on the 1.5 million people coming back under level 4. I mean, if you just wind it back under level 5, the more sort of strict lockdown measures that we had, there were between about 4 and 5 million people that were classified to be part of essential services. So at that stage, it was estimated that about two-thirds of the economy was under the strict lockdown. So if we add, the 1.5 million people under level 4, I've seen some estimates from HSBC that suggest that this would be another 10% of the economy. So this really is quite a slow phase out of the lockdown. And I believe that work can only really begin once there is public confidence for workers to start returning to the workplace and for customers to feel like there's enough safe protocols in place in order to come back. And the success in the economy is really going to start with trying to unblock some of the enablers of economic activity, but in a safe way. And we've seen this in terms of the emphasis being placed on some of the export industries and some of the manufacturing industries that will be allowed to operate in part under level 4 lockdown restrictions. There are, as you say, significant challenges with the opening up of the economy. So, for example, if you looked at the manufacturing sector, there are certain industries that are very reliant on some sort of production chain. So social distancing measures makes it quite difficult for that particular manufacturing industry to produce the same quantity of goods at the levels that they used to before. I think some of the bigger challenges we face as a country is that citizens don't abide by the regulations. And we don't want to end up in that zone where government has to police the regulations. So, for example, stores starting to sell items that are not allowed under certain levels. I think we also face a bigger risk of social unrest as some people are unable to conduct business. And we have a large portion of society that is very dependent on living in a fashion where we need to get income on a monthly basis rather than being deferred for a couple of months before you can start to generate an income again. So there are large pockets of society that cannot be reliant on high levels of savings. But in that, I think there's also, quite a big chunk of opportunities that we also need to look at as we start to reopen the economy.
Do you anticipate that we might see more stimulus being injected into the economy? A 5-week lockdown has necessitated a 500 billion rand response from the government in terms of just supporting individuals, and businesses around the country. So going forward, as you said, it's a slow reopening, and with the 4 to 5 million that you started off with, and then you go into the next one, maybe you have about 6 million or so people that are, quote unquote, back at work, stuff like that. Do you anticipate that this will be enough to, I guess, slow down the rate at which the government has to support the country, or do you anticipate that we might see another stimulus package coming down in the next maybe 2 months or so?
So I think the experience here in terms of government stimulus is really going to differ country by country. In some of the developed markets, they have more financial resources, so they can actually afford to evolve economic support measures as the lockdown is gradually phased out. But given that South Africa had a very poor state of finances even going into the crisis, the country can really ill afford recurring expenditures. So in some cases, we have to have some of these stimulus measures being a once-off. I think my worry here is that government stimulus packages are going to have more of a limited effect on trying to limit business failures and job losses in the informal sector. So if you think of a formal business, they tend to have far higher levels of reserves, and they can also afford, insurance against things like loss of income. While the formal economy is still the biggest chunk of the economy in South Africa, the informal sector, can't be blinked away. There was a great study in 2015 by the University of Stellenbosch Business School, where they looked specifically at the informal sector, and they calculated that South Africa's informal sector contributed more than 5% towards SA's GDP, but they employed almost 17% of all the people employed in South Africa. So that's about just over 2.5 million people. So that's quite a significant, chunk of the workforce. And what we do have an opportunity to start formalizing some of that informal economy, which would then add more to our GDP and tax base. Now, government has announced a SPASA relief fund for some of these informal businesses, but there are very strict formalization requirements that need to be met in order to be able to access this funding. So, for example, you have to, submit financial records, you have to only qualify for discounts from a list of pre-approved suppliers. So you don't necessarily get that costing benefit. And I think while some of these measures are quite good because it does help us to formalize parts of the informal economy, it's going to take quite a long time to do that. And in the interim, we might need to see some short-term measures to tide these businesses over. So, I think what government really can do to come to the party and to also try to improve our outlook on the ratings front longer term is to start, ramping up the provision of basic infrastructure for informal trade. So looking at water access, storage access, shelter access for some of these informal types of businesses, looking at ramping up skills development so that we can bring more people from the informal sector into the formalized sector of the economy. But there's also some non-monetary measures that government can look at, and that's quite important in an environment where we are facing massive fiscal constraints. So, looking at things like the zoning restrictions at a municipal level. So there is a bit of red tape here that could get cut. It's quite important at the moment because of the extent of the crisis and the urgency to try and leverage the current initiatives that we have in place and the current support mechanisms that we have in place. I think medium to longer term, the country and government can then look towards new initiatives, different types of delivery channels. I think it's also quite important for big business to also play their role. I think it's become very evident that this cannot be government's problem alone. And some of the bigger firms can try and help smaller firms by doing things like providing some of the legal or accounting systems that are available for small businesses to help with just the basic things, how to get an employment contract in place or how to register and file taxes at SARS or for the unemployment insurance fund. So really trying to formalize parts of the informal economy through some of these mechanisms.
That's a lot. Because I can only imagine that if you were able to condense all of these different considerations in that brief answer, how taxing it must be to think about all of these issues holistically if you are in the position of a president or perhaps a provincial premier or something like that. But from your view, where do you see, I guess, the economy going for 2020? We've been hearing ever diminishing projections on the economy with each successive week during the lockdown, and we've been hearing about U's and V's and L-shaped type of recoveries. Where are you seeing things going for the rest of 2020?
Unfortunately, a bit of a bleak outlook for 2020. I think we have to remember that the shock is very different to what we saw during the global financial crisis. The global financial crisis essentially stemmed from the financial sector and then it morphed into the real economy. But this time around, it was the health shock that impacted the real economy first before it started going into financial markets. We also saw, many more emerging markets, including South Africa, being more heavily impacted by COVID-19 than was the case during the global financial crisis. And part of that is because this is not only, a supply-led shock. This has become a demand shock as well, as governments try to put in containment measures to curb the rapid spread of COVID-19. So very necessary measures, but of course it does have an implication for the economy. So with this phased out approach, it also means that we're going to have, productive capacity coming back online very slowly with a little bit of retail trickling in. So we think that we are in for quite a torrid 2 quarters, being the second quarter and third quarter of this year, before we start to see some view of a recovery coming through for the final quarter of the year. So in our figures, we have the economy contracting by around 5% for this year. And our worry is that South Africa is going to take a bit of a longer time to recover than some other economies around the world because we were already on quite poor footing before COVID-19 struck the economy. So we really only see a recovery above a percent, between a percent and half a percent going into 2021. So I think, in this crisis, there will be some spend that is completely foregone. So, for example, you're not going to do double the amount of trips just because you didn't get the trips in while we were under lockdown. So some of the travel, tourism, entertainment, restaurant spend, I think that is foregone. But some of the discretionary spend, I think, can come back. So I think it will be deferred because consumer confidence is quite weak. And I think the next print that we get out is going to be even weaker. But some of the bigger ticket items may come back in due course. And that will really be dependent on how quickly we see a turnaround and how sustainable a turnaround is in sentiment levels. If we look at businesses, I think businesses are going to really try to protect their bottom line. So unfortunately, we are likely to see a further bout of job losses. And this doesn't really seem to be the time that they will be ramping up fixed investment because there is still a lack of demand in the system. And we probably do have a fair amount of spare capacity with the output gap widening in our economy. So as a result, we think that investment spend is going to be reasonably low this year going into next year. On the export side, I mean, the one benefit of having a very weakened exchange rate is that your products become more attractive to other markets. But unfortunately, at the moment, we can't take full advantage of a weaker exchange rate because there are still a number of border restrictions around the world in order for us to actually get our product out there into other economies. But I think once that gets lifted by the end of this year, we will start to see a little bit more coming through from the export side. But I think it will still be a bit of a rough time in the next 2 quarters. So unfortunately, not a very bright economic picture, but I think we do need to remember that we have come off, quite a poor macro footing even before the crisis has hit. So I think it's going to be quite a long road of recovery for South Africa. And again, it all boils down to whether government is able to take the opportunity to embark on much needed structural reform measures to really generate high levels of growth for South Africa.
So you heard it there, somewhat of a bleak outlook from Sanisha Pakarasamy, who is an economist at Momentum Investments. She's saying that there's likely to be a long road to recovery for South Africa going forward, and that given the amount of contraction that's expected for this year, they are projecting that in 2021 we might see maybe just 0.5% of growth. And one of the key things she's also then highlighting is that some of the spending, when we do get into recovery, is foregone already. To use her example, no one is going to take double the trips just because they are now able to move freely around South Africa or the world. So it means that certain types of expenditure have already been foregone. It's done, it's finished, and you just, have to take it going forward. She's also highlighting the fact that going forward, there are a lot of considerations that businesses, companies, and individuals are going to have to think about, and that as 1.5, which is a projected number, 1.5 million people go back to work, that there are still a significant number of people that won't be at work, so that's still a bit of a strain on the economy, and that that reopening is a somewhat slow one. I'm taking lessons from what's been going on in other parts of the world, especially in the Northern Hemisphere. And we began the discussion by discussing the fact that S&P Global Ratings recently downgraded South Africa again, following similar announcements from Fitch and Moody's in the last couple of weeks. So that's been it for today. Sanisha, how can people perhaps engage with you?
I'm available via our Momentum Investments website. You can also potentially send me an email on sanisha.pakrasamy@momentum.co.za.
So you heard it there. So that's Sanisha Pagarasamy, who is an economist at Momentum Investments. So that's been it for today's show. Thank you so much to Sanisha for shedding some light on some of the main economic issues for this week as we move from level 5 to level 4 of this phased reopening of the South African economy. Time Select is your ticket to news without the noise, a daily digital edition of news, business, lifestyle, sport, and more. It's news you can trust anytime, anywhere. We know that's important now more than ever, and that's why we're offering a 60-day subscription to Time Select for just 60 Rand. Go to select.timeslive.co.za/buy to sign up for this great deal.
This is
Mudiwa's
Tech.
Just a correction. Earlier on, I said we're talking about Sanisha's projection for the economy. It's actually not 0.5%. It's actually a 1% to 1.5% projection that they have for 2021. Sorry to be alarming people as I did earlier on. But otherwise, it was a very good discussion. I think she really covered a lot of the areas quite comprehensively, particularly those considerations you heard going into things like zoning laws, stuff like that. There's a lot of things that need to be considered when you are reopening the economy as things are happening in South Africa at the moment. One of the things that I personally think is going to happen and is likely to be a bit of a tough one to police is when one looks at the way that they've done the different levels. They have restrictions of movement, but at the same time, they have industries that are open and the like. And especially the reopening of certain non-essential services and non-essential businesses simply means that I feel like it would be hard to police where people go. Yes, you still want people to stay at home, but if people want to go and buy winter clothing, like, are you going to have trading hours and say people can only go to Woolies or to I don't know, Edgar's, depending on what's happening, on that front with its business. But in a normal situation, you're thinking of an Edgar's, you're thinking of a Woolworths, and you're saying to yourself, how are people actually going to police this thing? That's one. Two, with all the people that are going to be allowed to exercise and stuff like that, one really waits to see how after tomorrow how things will not go back to quote unquote normal. Because you're now allowing people to leave the house, you're now allowing people to go to shops and stuff like that. Apart from the fact that there are no concerts, apart from the fact that people can't go to restaurants and stuff like that, people can still get their takeaways delivered to them. And now there's reopening of schools and stuff like that. You're gonna be having that traffic, people going to drop off their kids every day. It's gonna be a crazy time. That's just the truth. It's likely to then, minimize some of these economic impacts, S&P downgrading, South Africa, and some of the needs in terms of borrowing more money. That projection from Senisha about the fact that we might find ourselves with debt to GDP at 75% is quite alarming, very bleak right there. But otherwise, hopeful that as South Africa moves from level 5 to level 4, that we might see more people going back to work, more people being able to make a living, businesses being able to repackage their business models and being able to support more people, and people just being able to stay safe out there. So yes, good move, and we just hope for the best. So that's all that can be done at this time. So that's been it. Remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. And then on Twitter, we're #BD Spotlight. Remember that you can also review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gawaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.